As we begin the sermon this morning, I want you to reach out to someone next to you and take their hand. Give it a squeeze and then let go. You have just demonstrated the most powerful and effective form of personal evangelism. One person reaching out to another person and taking their hand in love. Truth is, if we examine our own faith, most of us know that our faith can be attributed to someone taking our hand in love. Many of us were taken by the hand at an early age and brought into the house of God. And the seeds of faith were embedded within us. If we look at our spiritual pilgrimage, we can see people over the years having reached out and taken our hand in love. And that is how we've grown. If you examine the history of this church in its 125-year span, it could probably be chronicled as a series of people reaching out to each other and taking each other's hand and passing that hand on. All great spiritual movements are ultimately one person reaching out to another person, reaching out to another person, reaching out to another person in a series of electric touches. Take Timothy. Timothy, son of a Gentile father, Jewish mother who defied convention, married outside of her faith, and then she became a Christian. Timothy must surely have wondered, am I Gentile? Am I Jewish? Am I Christian? Along comes a man who is indeed Jewish, who has become a Christian, who was raised in a Gentile environment, and his name was Paul. And he reached out and took Timothy by the hand and nurtured him as a son. He calls him my son in faith. He refers to him as his spiritual child. Indeed, Paul thought so highly of Timothy, he calls him an apostle of Christ. A phrase Paul virtually never uses for anyone else except himself. Timothy felt Paul's touch, and then he became Paul's touch. We talk about Paul sending letters. No. Timothy delivered them. Paul wants to know what's going on the little church in Thessalonica. So what does he do? He sends Timothy with a letter to deliver and see how things are transpiring. He wants to see what's going on in Corinth, a situation fraught with tension, and he sends Timothy to deliver the letter and take the temperature. When Paul is in jail in intense times, there is Timothy with him in Ephesus. And when Paul is in chains and wants to send a letter of reassurance to the church at Philippi, he sends Timothy. Paul has touched Timothy, and Timothy goes out into the world to touch hundreds of lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the truth is, Timothy couldn't have touched others without Paul touching him. But Paul couldn't have touched him unless someone had touched Paul. Not even the great Paul birthed his own faith. see him in a room in Damascus. If Timothy's future was cloudy, how cloudy was young Saul's future as he lay blind in a Damascus house, having persecuted the church, but now having felt called by Christ, become a champion of the church. And in his inner eye, he can see someone named Ananias coming to lay hands on him. The only problem is Ananias did not see himself in that role. Ananias did not see himself as God's ambassador. Ananias did not see Paul as worthy of God's blessing. But in obedience to God's command, he came and he lay hands upon Saul and said, "Brother Saul." And that electric touch, the scriptures say, caused the scales to fall from his eyes. And Saul rose to become Paul, whose lives would touch thousands. The scripture says something very interesting. Our Lord says to us, "I have given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you keys so that whatever you unlock on earth is unlocked in heaven. And whatever you leave unlocked, what leave locked on earth, remains locked in heaven." You and I have been given the keys of the gospel of Christ to unlock other people's lives. What do we do with that key? Do we treasure it? Do we put it in our pocket? Do we throw it away? Or do we use the key of the kingdom that Christ has given us to unlock lives, to unlock neighborhoods, that they might realize their spiritual potential? Do we use our key to convey the good news of Jesus Christ? That's what the gospel is. Good news. You and I think of the word evangelism. We think of some guy in a big stadium up on a podium preaching and hundreds of people coming down the aisle. No. There is no equivalent to that in the Bible. Even at Pentecost, where 3,000 people came into the church, how did it begin? It began with the disciples giving their personal testimony as to the reality of the resurrection in their lives. The spreading of the gospel is intimate and personal. And it's good news. The word evangelism is based on the word evangel, which is based on the word for angel. Angel. Evangelism takes place through the ministry of evangelos, a good angel. When you and I spread good news, we are a good angel. And the truth is, my friends, good news is irrepressible. No young lady gains an engagement ring and hides her finger. No, she walks around like this so people be sure to see it. No one has a child or a grandchild born into the world and keeps that news to themselves. No, they share it. When we gave our sons a new, very old car for Christmas after their 16th birthday, within 20 minutes, all of their friends knew it on Facebook. Good news is irrepressible. So, why is it you and I are more likely to share good news about a great Mexican restaurant or a wonderful movie than we are about what really matters? The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ's fellowship. Why are we reticent
to share that which matters most to us. We're meant to be good angels and share good news. The longer I live, the more I come to treasure fairy tales, because they speak the real truth. You remember the story of the magic swan? Young man, youngest of several brothers, always pummeled, always persecuted, always put down. And finally, he runs away from home in desperation. He meets up with an old woman who says to him, "You will find your destiny by leaving home. And down the road, you will find a beautiful white swan tethered to a tree. Untie the white swan and walk down the road. And the swan will be so beautiful, people will want to touch it. And when they do, you say the words, 'Swan, hold fast,' and they'll be stuck to the swan." Goes down the road, finds the swan, unties it, heads down the road, and a construction worker sees the beautiful swan and says, "Ooh, may I just pick a feather?" And he says, "Sure." And he touches the feather and he says, "Swan, hold fast." And the worker is stuck. And he starts yelling bloody murder, and it attracts the attention of a milkmaid. And she comes over the hill and grabs the worker, and he says, "Swan, hold fast." And she's stuck too. And on down the road he goes and collects a banker, a baker, a merchant, a mayor, a mayor's wife, a vast menagerie of people. You remember what happens next? He enters into the city. A princess who has never smiled in her life sees this motley collection of people all stuck together, and she begins to laugh. And her father is so delighted, he gives the princess to the boy as his wife. The story of the Christian gospel is the story of the swan. One person connecting to another person, connecting to another person. You don't believe me? Study the text. The Gospel of Mark, written by John Mark, cousin of Barnabas. Friend of Paul, who touched Timothy. But Paul and Timothy never would have met had Paul not met Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. It is said that John the Apostle began the church in Ephesus. Who followed John as bishop? Timothy, who influenced John the Elder, who baptized Polycarp, one of the early Christian leaders, who baptized Irenaeus, the first great Christian theologian. The spread of the gospel is usually not among strangers. It's intimate and personal. The story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the spread of Christianity, reads like a Dickens novel or a small southern newspaper, where one relative touches another relative, touches another friend, and on the story goes. Wednesday is February the 3rd. Do you know what Wednesday is? It's not just Wednesday night fellowship night. That's important. Wednesday is National Signing Day, where college football athletes sign their letter of intent, and the five-star recruits sign on with Georgia. Now, do you think those kids sign their lives to an institution on the basis of one phone call or one letter? No. It's the culmination of a long process of cultivating a relationship with a coach or coaches, with friends, with an institution. How much time do you spend recruiting people to the cause of Jesus Christ, recruiting people to this institution? The thing is, every recruiter knows, every recruiter worth his salt knows, you cannot recruit someone else to commit to something until you have first recruited yourself. Have you truly recruited yourself to the kingdom of God? Have you truly recruited yourself to Vineville Baptist Church? Only then can we be effective recruiters for the cause of Christ and exercise the electric touch. A couple weeks ago in USA Today, I saw this amazing statistic. 95% of the terrorists who fight for ISIS were recruited by family and friends. 95%. The question is, do we believe in our cause as strongly as they believe in theirs? Our Lord said to us in His last words something very meaningful. He didn't say, build a beautiful building. He didn't say, create a big budget. He didn't say, serve on a ton of committees. He said, recruit, go make disciples. That's what I ask, go make disciples. And when we do that, when we exercise the electric touch, we are obedient to Christ's command. Some years ago, I was in a hospital room with a woman who was facing a series of very delicate surgeries. And you could see the fear on her face, and her daughter took her by the hand and said to her these words, Mama, don't fear. Wherever they take you, I will be there. Wherever they take you, I will be there. Our Lord says to us, you have opportunities, and maybe you're afraid of rejection. Maybe you're afraid of failing. Maybe you're afraid of being rebuffed. Do not fear. In every situation, I am with you, even until the end of the age. Do not fear. Maybe your first attempt at electric touch won't be successful. Do not fear. I am with you. Most successful electric touches are a series of actions and invitations and nurturing over a long period of time. But whether we fail or whether we succeed, Jesus says, do not fear. No matter where you are, I am with you to the end of the age. So when we go out, when we use our key to unlock lives, to unlock communities, that they might receive the joy of Christ, we are being obedient to our Lord's command and exercising the electric touch. May we pray together. Lord, may we recruit ourselves to your cause with all of our being, that we might be recruiters and exercise a magnetism that brings people to your gospel, to your redemption, and to your fellowship. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.